When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This morning when I rose, yeah.
I didn't have no doubt.
Yes. I got all the old school gospel in my head right now.
I'm ready.
You're right there with me, and I love that about you.
Don't give me no 90s hip hop either. I'm fresh off
my
homecoming.
Churchy, my churchy friend.
I got it. It's all in my head right now.
Okay. So, just got back from Columbia, South Carolina. Sadly, I was there to bury my cousin. My cousin, may he rest in peace.
I am sorry for your loss.
Yeah, thank you for that. He died. He's actually the same age as D'Angelo, and just crazy, like...
And me.
They both died at the same, like, in the same week.
Wow.
And I was sad about both, but, like, nobody's talking about my cousin.
Right, yeah.
But big shout out to my cousin, Sean Wise, who passed away. But, so I flew down to Columbia, and my parents, in their infinite wisdom, drove.
Oh.
So, I'm like, Mom and Dad, let me drive y'all back, at least, because my dad's a little older.
Yep.
We listened to gospel the whole way home.
Hold on, though.
Of course.
Did they drive down, like, straight through? Or did they stop somewhere?
Here's the thing. So, I offered for them to fly with me.
That's a gangster.
I sent them an itinerary.
It's a lot of work.
I said, we're going to leave on Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and we'll come back on Friday. Wednesday to Friday.
Okay.
To which my dad said, no, that's too long. I'll just drive. So, my dad ends up leaving on Tuesday. And coming back on Friday.
I'm sorry.
But this makes more sense to him.
Right.
He only had to buy a hotel for one night. Because basically, he drove all night Tuesday. We drove all night Thursday.
Old school senior math.
I guess.
Yes.
And yeah, we just listened to gospel. Like back in the day, road trips. My dad, my dad's a bishop. I'm sure y'all know that. My mom's a minister too. And
mm-hmm.
I'm very into gospel. And mm-hmm. so I listen to a lot of gospel.
By default.
Yeah, I mean, I was raised in gospel. Like I never got on a plane until I was 18 years old. And we spent almost every month going to North Carolina.
Wow.
So like, I got a lot. It's so funny. Even one of my cousins called me. He was like, do you remember this song? I don't want no peanut butter and jelly. I'm like, what? Do you remember this song?
I feel like as a cultural something, I am familiar, but I can't.
I don't really remember this song, but my cousin swears that we used to listen to this song in the car driving down to North Carolina.
Give me the lyrics.
The song is, I mean, it's a lot of words in the beginning.
Okay.
You know how like Shirley Caesar does all the words?
Yep.
It reminds me of
greens,
the song.
Tomatoes, potatoes.
But it reminds me of the song, you know the song where she's like, the cost, if you add up the cost, that is no charge.
Like, oh,
it's like the little boy.
That's from the BET gospel commercial.
Yeah, but I was listening to that when it came out.
It's like, all good. Mm-hmm.
So either way, it's a lot of talking. And then it's basically a little boy walks into the kitchen and his mom is like, he says, I'm hungry, Mom. And she's like, all right, well, I'll make you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. To which he replies, I don't want no peanut butter and jelly. I want my soul to be saved. This is the gospel song. And I'm like, all right, so two things. One, it teaches you can make a gospel song about anything. But second, this is not very believable.
Yeah.
Like
a kid
little boy,
is gonna,
like,
right.
I don't want no peanut butter and jelly. Like, you know how good peanut butter and jelly is for a little boy?
Mm-hmm.
So either way, a lot of gospel in my head.
I need to find this song now because I'm not sure if it's an urban myth in my mind or if I'm really familiar with the song.
It's by the Truthettes, 1983.
Wow.
Yeah, that was core driving North Carolina.
I was old enough to have heard and remembered.
I don't think it was a big hit. But back in the day, there weren't really gospel radio stations up here. So all my gospel was from tapes.
They're all on Southern city stations, and they were all on AM radio.
Really?
Okay. Yep. Just letting you know.
My stuff was all on tapes. Like, I used to be the guy. My job was to switch to tape.
Wow.
So I couldn't even sleep in the car.
Fun fact, though, neither one of my kids eat peanut butter and jelly. I feel like I failed.
Yeah, that's because you raised him bougie, upper crust.
It just, with my son, I get it. He never liked to mix things. He's a very separate, like, he would separate his mixed vegetables. He still probably at 22 separates his Skittles.
Okay, then I got to ask you, peanut butter and jelly. All right, I'm going to give you all the different choices. You put your perfect peanut butter and jelly sandwich together. So we got the chunky peanut butter, or we got the smooth peanut butter.
Smooth.
We got the grape jelly or the strawberry jelly.
Grape.
We got the white bread or the wheat bread or hot dog bun or hamburger bun.
I got a twist for you.
Okay.
Growing up, it was always white bread.
Okay.
In my adult years, wheat bread.
Okay.
I've even discovered the peanut butter and jelly on an English muffin.
That's impressive.
Toasted.
Toasted. All right. Fist bump on that. That's my perfect. Not on English muffin.
Right.
But like lightly toasted bread.
Yes.
With the smooth peanut butter.
Yes.
And then here's where we differ. I'm a strawberry jelly guy.
Okay.
Like, if you'll allow it.
I'll allow it. I just don't. Strawberry jelly, actually, when it comes to preserves, I want strawberry jam and not strawberry jelly.
I really don't know. What's the difference? Is one a little thicker?
The texture is a little different.
A little thicker?
Texture's
must
a little
be jelly
different.
To jam, don't shake like that.
Just the texture's different and whatever.
Okay.
You know I'm a foodie, so I can take this further. What I've rediscovered that I didn't remember existing until I saw it again recently, apple jelly. Not with peanut butter, but just apple jelly. Period, that it exists.
Well, if we're going to talk about apple jelly.
Apricot jam, too.
Raspberry jelly?
No.
Raspberry jelly is what's
up?
Not
allowed.
Yeah, no, it's very good.
It's not allowed.
I mean, I'm not doing it with peanut butter.
Right.
It's for like pancakes.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Not allowed.
I'm telling you
it's not allowed.
Changed my life.
Good right. for you, but anyways.
Let's get into this show today. So today we are really giving our views on the market. So we are financial advisors, actually. Like, I know y'all think we just are singers.
Podcast superstars. Gospel singers.
But people rely on us for our insights on the financial market and on the economy. And once a quarter, we dive deep into markets and we give our opinion on what we're seeing, what's going on. And every now and then, we'll share that here on air. And so today, we're going to break down the way we do for clients, our views on financial markets and the economy.
It's a really interesting time right now.
It really is. And also, when you say interesting time, it's almost like, what do you mean by that? Because there's this old saying, like, may you live in interesting times. And that's like a curse. Like,
oh,
like, I hope that things are crazy for you in your life is what you're basically saying. So
see, I'm such a positive person. I wouldn't even receive that negatively. Yeah, if someone said that to me.
It's like the scripture people are like, well, I wish you this scripture. And it's the one scripture in the Bible that's like, I hope your kids don't have kids and your whole.
And who are these people you dealing with?
People would say, I wish this on. I guess like to sound biblical.
Uh-huh. May your descendants be cursed.
Yeah.
Like, who does that?
It's one of those things where I guess it's just a buried message, like double meaning.
Evil.
So what's going on? So it's actually been a really good year in the market, despite everything that's going on.
I'm surprised at the number of people who are surprised by that.
What do you mean?
I mean, I get clients, family, friends saying, oh, you must be really, really busy since the market's so bad. And I'm like, yes, I'm really, really busy, but the market's not bad.
Yeah.
But it brings up the conversation around the economy versus the market. And even the economy's not bad. It's slowing down and it might turn bad kind of quickly, but I don't know. It's just really interesting.
Yeah, it's all steeped in your personal economy, right? When people say the economy's bad, they hear about people losing their jobs because of the government shutdown.
Yes.
They see the prices on the shelves in the grocery store.
For sure.
They hear about their homeboy that's looking for a job. And then and they add that up to say, oh, things must be bad.
Yep.
They also, on the day that they happen to turn on financial news, maybe the market was down that day. And all you hear is bad news on those days.
Yes.
Right? But here's some of the headlines from this year. And you'll relive this year through these headlines. So first we had, like, the first 4 months of the year were really bad. And it was really capped off by Liberation Day. This was a day when we as a country decided to make everybody else pay their fair share. And so we announced these widespread tariffs on all of our trading partners. And
who exactly is we?
Well, it's the U.S. government.
Okay.
It wasn't Andrea and Alan.
I just, yeah, in case
us.
Anyone is unclear.
Yeah, it wasn't us.
Okay.
But when that happened, while we were supposed to make everybody else pay their fair share, our market dropped the most in the world. Like, our stock market dropped by 17% after these tariffs were announced. Also, in the first quarter, our GDP, which is the gross domestic product of our country, which is a broad measure of our economic strength, it went negative in the first quarter. So we had a bad stock market in the first quarter, bad GDP growth in the first quarter, and that was kind of a crappy start to the year.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people look at that first month or that first quarter and kind of say, well, this is what the whole year is going to be like.
Yeah.
And then the second quarter rolled around. And what happened in the second quarter? Oh, we suspended those tariffs. And then things started to rebound. Not only did the market rebound, we also received a new tax bill, the one blankety blank blank tax act, one big beautiful bill act. That was a tax cut.
Right.
That plus the tariffs being put on hold caused a massive reversal in the stock market.
Absolutely.
Then we get to the third quarter. The Federal Reserve Chairman, Jerome Powell, sounds black. He's not, actually. Like, not at all.
He's not even a Jerry. He's a straight up Jerome.
Jerome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't think of any white Jeromes in my life.
I feel like we had this conversation before.
Yeah.
I professionally worked with another white Jerome.
French?
British.
British.
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
At least I think.
Okay. Right, so there's white Jeromes out there. So this Jerome cut interest rates for the first time in 9 months. When interest rates are cut, it's always like an interesting thing. Like, people are happy. That means when I take out a loan, the rates will be lower.
Yeah.
I can buy more house. I could buy more car. I can finance my business better. But I always, maybe I'm cynical. Maybe I'm just an economist inside. Like, I know that the circumstances that cause rates to go down, it's typically that things are slowing down and the Fed is worried. And it's a bad situation that causes the Fed to cut rates.
That's right.
So the Fed cut rates, the market is excited because we've had two bits of stimulus. One is what I call fiscal stimulus, which was a tax cut.
Right.
And the second is a monetary. Yeah, monetary stimulus from interest rates being cut.
Yep.
And so the third quarter, things continued to rebound. And then...
For real.
October 1st comes around.
Government shut down.
Yeah. So you know, it's like a theme. It's like bad stuff, good stuff, bad stuff.
I mean,
hopefully good stuff is next.
Isn't it kind of always like that though?
I guess. I just want maybe good stuff.
Well,
that's what I want.
That's what we all want. And if you've had three consecutive years, I'm talking about the market now. If you've had three consecutive years of good stuff, good stuff, good stuff, then the first little bump on the ride is like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's all crashing down. It's like, the tariff thing was like, psych. Yeah. I mean, we've even talked about this. If you go back and look at our episode titles since that time, you can actually see it through the titles.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that? Just gone back and looked at, probably not.
I go back and...
You're like, once it's look, done, it's no, dead to me.
No. I go back. I actually listened to the one, like a show we did on Martha's Vineyard, like before you joined the podcast.
Okay.
Like literally last week. So uh-huh. I do go back from time to time.
Yeah. But I mean, I go back, look at not to listen, I go back and look at the titles.
Yeah.
One, we're always looking for new things and relevant things to talk about. So we don't want to do repeats. Mm-hmm. But it's a pattern. It's like it tells a story.
Yeah. Did you used to play that game? One apiece, no repeats, no hesitation, no demonstration.
Yes.
Hands down in 86. Going to get
names of
girls. No, we're doing girls. Okay. Starting with Andrea.
Melissa.
Cheryl.
Sherry.
You got it.
Now, yeah, y'all got it.
Y'all
I know.
Got it. Okay.
Very competitive. I love playing games because I like winning.
Okay. I get distracted so easily.
Yeah.
I get distracted so easily.
That good. It's been a serious week, so
gotta be
I'm in my
light.
Silly mode right
good.
Now. So I'm going to try to stay on serious market commentary topic.
Yeah. So this shutdown, we did a show about it like at the beginning of the shutdown because clients were like freaking out, like, hey, what does this mean for me?
Mm-hmm.
And we basically said, look, typically the market does okay during a shutdown.
Yes.
We said, look, this might be rivaling the last shutdown, which lasted 34, 35 days.
We're right there.
And here we are. We're entering month two of that shutdown. Now, the crazy thing, though, with this shutdown is it may impact people's EBT, which is food stamps.
Yeah.
It may impact SNAP, which is like nutrition and food for children.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it doesn't get to that point. It's Friday right now. It's Friday afternoon. And
technically,
looking at
we're
the
there.
News, mm-hmm. you know, like it doesn't seem like it's resolved just yet. Like one of our employees asked, like, do you think they're going to, have you ever seen, you know, food stamps get cut? I'm like, no, like this could get fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It really could. And there's a blame game going on right now. Republicans are like, well, blame your Democrats. Like, let's not worry about blame. Let's get these people their food.
Get it resolved. Yeah.
They've decided to fund military payments.
I'm sorry. The president is petty.
Yeah.
But when you're petty and you're affecting tens of millions of people, including the people who supported you.
Yes.
That's a different kind of. I don't even have a word for it.
Yeah. And people don't realize, like, we have such a big gap between who's running this country and the people who voted for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're so removed from food insecurity.
Right.
Like, this is just a political thing for them.
Yeah.
And, like, what's crazy, we do have a midterm coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, hey.
I mean.
Play chicken all you want, but, like, there
I mean,
will
the
be
midterm elections are next year.
In a year, I'm saying.
So, hopefully.
Coming up.
Hopefully. Unfortunately, depending on how quickly this gets resolved, I think some people will have forgotten.
Well, today they have not. And you don't forget hunger.
Yeah.
You don't forget that. You don't forget coming home and there's no food for your kid.
Mm-hmm.
And your kid's like, mama, like, what we got
to
eat? You ain't saying I don't want no peanut butter and jelly.
You're not talking about your soul being saved. You're just trying to survive.
Yeah.
And I don't genuinely know what that's like.
Yeah.
To the point of even guilt sometimes where it's like, I have multiple options in my pantry, in my cabinets, in my freezers. I could probably go a month without buying more food and be okay.
Yeah.
Maybe longer. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I do have options. But if I literally had no money for food, I'd eat for a month.
Yeah.
Easily.
And that's
I may not
that's
have what
privilege.
I want. I may not have what I like. But that's
privilege.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been in supermarkets where I'm like, I'm only spending this much. But if I really wanted something, I can buy it.
Yeah.
I just don't know what it's like.
Let's just hope the government gets this sorted out.
Yeah.
So we'll go to break. When we come back, we'll keep this conversation going about what happened in the year and what's our view moving forward.
It's not over yet. We will be back. I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
You know what's on everyone's wish list this year?
Oh, definitely the Bartesian cocktail maker.
It's like having a bartender who never judges your drink order.
Exactly. Just pop in a capsule, press a button, boom. Old-fashioned, margarita, espresso martini.
Over 60 bar-quality cocktails. Zero effort.
And right now, you can save up to $150 on Bartesian cocktail makers.
Wait, 150?
Yep, up to $150 off. It's the best deal of the season.
Okay, but seriously, how did we ever host before Bartesian?
Last time your kitchen looked like a crime scene. Sticky counters, fruit wedges everywhere.
Yeah, this year, no measuring tools, no mess, just perfect cocktails.
This year, I'm gifting one to my brother.
And myself. For research purposes.
Make the holidays easier and happier with Bartesian. Mix over 60 premium cocktails at the touch of a button. Save up to $150 on Bartesian cocktail makers. But hurry, this Black Friday and Cyber Monday offer ends December 2nd. Get yours now at bartesian.com/drinks. That's bartesian.com/drinks.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Momentum.
So we're back.
Mm-hmm.
Still don't want no peanut butter and jelly?
I'll take it, but I get it.
So we were talking before the break about the economy, about the financial market. I want to give some numbers. So for the year, the biggest and best performing asset this year is gold. Gold is up 57%. Now, somebody's saying, that's good. I own some gold, or you know, I should buy some. Mm-hmm. But like, we're not saying go out and buy some. We're saying like...
It's expensive now.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, compared to...
Yeah.
Where it was.
So it's up almost 60 through the end. This is through the end of September. The next closest thing would be emerging market stocks, which are up 32.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just frame this for a second. So we've got the best performing part of the stock market up about 30. Gold up about 60. Double.
Yeah.
What that's telling me is that folks are very worried.
Mm-hmm.
Like the reason, like people buy gold when they're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
They buy gold when they're worried about inflation. They're worrying about conflicts like wars. They're worrying about, you name it, fill in the blank. You
buy gold. Historically speaking, yes. I wonder though, if people today are also buying gold because there's more access to information. We're in a 24/7 news cycle and they hear that it's going up. I wonder if some of the buyers of gold are, it's the new hottest, flashy, shiny thing, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're buying it, not because they're worried, but because they heard that it's going up. I just wonder, and I don't know how much of that.
Yeah. Well, one thing I'll say is this.
You are right. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering about.
For sure. There's somebody, there's absolutely some of that going on. But let's look at the worst performing asset in the world this year.
Mm.
It is the U.S. dollar.
Yeah.
So what is that telling me?
Can't buy as much.
It's telling me that folks are selling dollars to buy gold.
Mm-hmm.
Who's doing that? Okay. It's mainly central banks across the world.
Right.
Right? So think about a central bank. The central bank.
It's not people who think they might be losing their jobs or maybe losing their SNAP benefits.
Yeah.
It's not them.
It's governments.
Yes.
Like governments have a treasury.
Yes.
Like this is their rainy day fund.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, they would take their rainy day fund and put it in the dollar and in our treasury bonds.
Yes.
And now that we've got a president who's out here fighting everybody.
They're like, nah, I'm good.
I'll just buy gold.
Right.
I'm good on that.
Yes.
So we're seeing interest rates are rising, the dollar's falling, and gold is going up.
Yep.
Because folks are scared, not just at the household level, but at the central bank level.
That's right.
Pay attention to that. Next, this government shutdown. So we talked a little about this. Sorry. So next, the government shutdown. You know, we did a whole show about this, so we won't belabor this point. But, you know, bottom line, the stock market typically is not fazed by shutdowns. Like, they happen on average every 2 to 3 years in the last 50 years. That's been the case. We clearly went a long time from 1996 to 2012 with no shutdowns, and then we've had a bunch since then. This is the third one under Trump, ironically, who I found video this week of him criticizing Obama during the shutdown. Like, there was a really, really brief shutdown in 2013.
Get out of here.
That lasted 17 days. And yeah. Trump is on a whole news tour.
Yep.
And he's like, you know, in history, like, anytime the government shutdowns, you blame the president.
Right.
Like, he's clearly not a good negotiator. Mm-hmm. He should have never let this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we are.
Almost twice as long already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the second time, like the first one was 35 days. Like this one's already pushing 30,
mm-hmm.
right? But now it's the Democrats' fault.
Of course.
Yeah. Move the football. Like move the goalpost.
Every time.
Other things happening. The Fed cut interest rates this week.
That's right.
This is the second time that it's happened this year. And the market is expecting more.
Yeah, I heard there was some negotiating on that. Not everybody was in favor of it. Or let me say that differently. Let me correct myself. I'm hearing that the next rate cut potential, everyone's not for it.
Yeah.
They're a little concerned.
Of course you're concerned.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the Fed, you've got really two jobs, right? One is to keep an eye on the jobs market, make sure that folks have full employment opportunities. And the other is to keep an eye on inflation. And like inflation is still above the Fed's long-term target.
It crept up.
Right? Like they want inflation to be closer to 2. We're at 3. And there's stimulus coming next year. We've got a tax cut.
Mm-hmm.
We've got lower interest rates. And then another thing that I'm seeing is like this year, like the tariffs didn't have a big impact on inflation because a lot of the businesses just absorbed those expenses.
Yeah.
But how long are you going to be able to do that?
Right.
Like there's a lot of economists who think that next year, those tariffs that we were worried about this year hitting inflation are going to start to hit next year.
Yeah.
And they don't want to get caught again. The Fed doesn't want to get caught missing out on another round of inflation. So like, yeah, of course they're worried. They're in a tight spot.
When does the new Fed chair step into role? Is it March?
Very close. May 2026. New Fed chair.
Yeah,
that's good enough. I had to look that up, like in all transparency. Yeah. I didn't know that. But like, yeah, it's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. And I would not want to be the Fed chair right now because you got political pressure to drop rates to zero. And you've got really pressing concerns that inflation might go back up. And then the final thing is this government shutdown means that we don't get all the data that we normally get. Like they called some jokers back.
They fired people.
They fired them and then they furloughed.
Yeah.
And like economic statistics is not viewed as like an essential service. So those people are at home. They actually had to call people back from the Bureau of Labor Statistics to give an inflation number earlier this month.
That's how chaotic it is.
And what's crazy, like, if the number wasn't good, what would they have done?
Right.
Y'all go back on. Don't even worry about releasing that data.
We're eliminating your job forever.
Yeah. Because like I said, we have a president that if the numbers ain't what he wants to see, then your job is in jeopardy. So like you're flying blind right now. Like you don't have all the data. Like Wall Street is figuring out alternate data sources right now.
That's a concern for me.
The Fed calls this current economy the low fire, low hire economy.
Mm-hmm.
Like we don't have, like typically when there's a recession, one of the big indicators is an uptick in unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that right now. Unemployment rate is staying steady at 4.3%. Although we did not get a number in September, we don't know what it would be if you can. Plus like a lot of government layoffs like that would have an impact. So But we haven't seen up until now a big uptick in firings or layoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But what we certainly are seeing is a big decline in job openings.
Yes.
So low fire, low hire.
Yeah.
Like if you are unfortunate to be in that position to not have a job, a lot less opportunities out there right now. And maybe that's like a long-term thing. Maybe it's due to AI. Like folks are talking about AI more.
Mm-hmm.
AI is supposed to be a productivity enhancer. Companies are figuring out how to do more with less people. So I don't know. Like that's another thing the Fed's got to look at.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to consider. There's just a lot of factors. And when you don't have reliable data sources and reporting, it's hard to know the root cause of anything.
Yeah. So AI, we talked about AI just now. We actually did a whole show recently on AI.
Mm-hmm.
It was about investing in AI.
Yes.
We talked about whether there was a bubble or not. Here's one thing that we noticed recently we've been talking about in our investment committee. It's this idea that is AI a house of cards? Because there's so many, I hate to use this word, I can't think of a better way to say it, but like incestuous relationships in the AI ecosystem.
For sure.
Of one company investing in the next company, and then that company turns around and invests back by buying chips from them.
Right.
Like NVIDIA is the center of this.
That's right.
NVIDIA invested in OpenAI, like big money, $100 billion. OpenAI says, well, look, we'll use that money to build data centers and we'll use NVIDIA chips to run the data center.
Bet. And then NVIDIA hits $5 trillion with the T.
Yes.
Market cap.
Yeah.
Wasn't that yesterday?
Yes.
Or the day before? It happened this week.
For sure.
Crazy. You know, I saw this concern, and I don't know if I've spoken about this before publicly, but in my boring auditor days,
mm-hmm.
I saw this during, as the financial crisis was approaching. I was an auditor at that time, and I was auditing this concept, this business concept. They called it financial warranties.
Okay.
And basically, you'd have financial institutions basically guaranteeing other financial institutions.
Okay.
And so as I started reading the documents, I was just like, okay, so you're guaranteeing being able to pay the debts of this bank. And then they're guaranteeing to pay your debts.
Lord.
Like I saw the
circular.
A similar. Yeah. And I was like, what if all this goes?
Yeah.
Crashing down. And then, of course, I got the, well, that's never going to happen. That's never happened before. And I'm like, but could it?
And this sounded like it was pre-financial crisis.
It was pre-financial crisis.
That ended well.
I mean, it just, and it was an affiliate financial institution of a bigger one that I was working for. But I was still like, all of y'all are just guaranteeing the debts of everybody else.
Yeah.
But what if the whole system collapses? Then no one can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just made me think of that.
Yeah. It's a concern. Like I own a lot of these AI stocks.
Mm-hmm.
I own NVIDIA. I'm not telling you to go buy it, by the way.
It's also expensive now, but
it is expensive.
How much higher is it going to go?
Yeah. But like,
I'm
concerned about that.
Yeah.
I am concerned. So I do feel like what's different about this time than the tech bubble, like if you think about the tech bubble, like folks were valuing things based on eyeballs. Like a company would go public and they'd be like, I know this company ain't making no money right now, but like they got a million eyeballs looking at this website. So clearly they're going to be valuable one day.
Follows and likes.
Well,
or in those days, clicks.
So like these AI companies are very profitable. Like the Magnificent Seven this quarter is estimated to grow their earnings by 14%. If we look at the rest of the S&P taking out the Magnificent Seven,
mm-hmm.
14 becomes 4.
Yeah.
So like they are growing their earnings at a much faster pace,
mm-hmm.
14% compared to 4% for the rest of the S&P 500. So
they're
making real profits.
Yes.
But it also ain't cheap. Like this week, like Meta had its earnings.
Yeah.
And they were disappointing, but more importantly, people looked at how much money Meta is planning to spend on R&D
mm-hmm.
for new AI. They're trying to create superhuman intelligence,
mm-hmm.
like AI that's smarter than people. Because right now, people look at AI and think it's great, but like AI is the equivalent of like a smart goldfish right now. Really? Like a smart one, not just a regular
goldfish. Not just
goldfish.
A regular.
Like, And we're relying on this stuff, by the way. Like, people are like using AI for like major, major things, but like AI, it's got a lot of problems. Like, so I want to be invested in it, but I don't only want to be invested in it.
Correct.
And I also got to acknowledge that, yes, it's been pretty good.
Right.
So far.
Yes.
But let me tell you some of the AI, like the you know how they have like the not top 10 on SportsCenter?
Yes.
This is the AI not top 10.
Okay.
In June of 2023, OpenAI was sued because ChatGPT hallucinated an embezzlement claim. Just made it up. Like such and such, John Doe was out here embezzling money. And it didn't happen.
Hallucinated,
like,
though.
AI is out here hallucinating.
Mm-hmm.
ChatGPT, that's y'all savior. That's the main one that y'all like talking about. It's out here making up hallucinations. Like, now AI is so good, by the way. Like, have you got any videos that look real and you share them with people and then you find out later that they're not real?
I haven't shared any, but I have seen some that I'm like,
this looks...
Yeah.
Someone sent one recently. I sent it to a couple of friends. And then mm-hmm. my young person in my life was like, yo, that's AI, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It was like a video of TSA operators like, hey, government shut down. Y'all go through. We're not even going to run your backs through. Because I've flown a bunch of times since then, and that has not happened.
That has not happened. Yes, that has not happened.
February 2024, Google's chatbot Gemini was criticized after generating racially inaccurate and racially insensitive historical images. Like, is that a hallucination? Or is that how
is that somebody it was designed? Back there, like,
it's still made by people, mm-hmm. my G.
I am enjoying the babies, though.
Oh, I do like the baby.
The AI babies talking about various things. I do find that entertaining.
July 2025, XAI, you know, is attached to, what's the Twitter guy? Elon Musk.
X.
That AI large language model faced criticism for making anti-Semitic comments.
Mm. Like, yeah, I mean.
Not top 10, y'all. Just August of 2025.
Yes.
ChatGPT 5 received numerous complaints because it answered several simple questions inaccurately.
I would love to have known what the questions were and what the answers were.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing about AI, like, you got to kind of have some base level of like experience and knowledge to call BS.
That's also definitely true and concerning with people over relying on it, because they're over relying on it when they don't have that baseline understanding of certain things. But I also find it interesting that, and I find this with younger people, and I'm usually speaking of younger people, like in my children's generation, who will insist on using AI for all kinds of stuff, but they don't use it to learn things for themselves.
Mm.
That's going to help them out. Like, my 22-year-old needed, because he doesn't have checks, he needed a letter from the bank in order to be able to set up direct deposit.
Okay.
But instead of searching on ChatGPT on like how to get it or what to get,
he called mom.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like little things.
Enrich yourself, brother.
Yeah. I'm like, you got access to all the tools.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Or some of our employees, you know, are like, hey, I need to explain this and I understand it, but I think you can explain it better. And I'm like, that's true. I can't explain it better. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, did you ChatGPT it? Like, I really did ask the question.
Yeah, what it's really good for, I will say, mm-hmm. like grammar.
Yes.
It's good at grammar.
It's good at grammar. It's good at
I asked it the other day.
Putting language around something. Like, you know what you need and want to convey, but sometimes somebody can say it better.
Mm-hmm. Rephrasing something.
Rephrasing. There you go.
It's very good at, the other day I loaded up two documents. I said, just tell me some of the conceptual differences between these two documents.
Mm-hmm.
It did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Certain things, I was like, I'm not going to use that part because I wasn't positive. But like, it did a decent job. It did like a good intern level job.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not research analyst job.
Yeah.
But good, strong intern
level. That's why I'm not worried about job replacement just yet for certain things.
Once that I saw that I found interesting is that, like, you often hear about, like, AI is going to replace a bunch of jobs. But I saw a stat that said it will displace 92 million jobs by 2030, but also create 170 million new jobs. So
that makes sense to me. I mean, I don't know if the numbers prove out, but I could see that happening. And I think more than anything right now, it just changes the way people do their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Anyway.
So we're breaking down the financial markets and the economy.
That's what we do.
Because we're financial advisors. We're not just...
I'm kidding. We are kidding.
We're also churchy...
rappers.
Part-time comedians. But keep listening. We'll be right back and we'll keep the party going.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
You know what's on everyone's wish list this year?
Oh, definitely the Bartesian Cocktail Maker.
It's like having a bartender who never judges your drink order.
Exactly. Just pop in a capsule, press a button, boom. Old fashioned, margarita, espresso martini.
Over 60 bar quality cocktails. Zero effort.
And right now, you can save up to $150 on Bartesian Cocktail Makers.
Wait, 150?
Yep, up to $150 off. It's the best deal of the season.
Okay, but seriously, how did we ever host before Bartesian?
Last time your kitchen looked like a crime scene. Sticky counters, fruit wedges everywhere.
Yeah, this year, no measuring tools, no mess, just perfect cocktails.
This year, I'm gifting one to my brother.
And myself, for research purposes.
Make the holidays easier and happier with Bartesian. Mix over 60 premium cocktails at the touch of a button. Save up to $150 on Bartesian cocktail makers. But hurry, this Black Friday and Cyber Monday offer ends December 2nd. Get yours now at bartesian.com/drinks. That's bartesian.com/drinks.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabay Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabay sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Momentum.
We are back.
Yes.
But we're not ready.
We're always ready. We were born ready, so we don't have to get ready.
Sorry. You look like you were not ready. Like you were formulating your next
words.
I'll
put it like this. There's a reason this is an audio-only podcast. Sometimes
we struggle.
I look confused.
Sometimes I am confused.
It sounds confident, but like sometimes my face is giving like, wait, what? No,
I really wish people could see sometimes, especially when you do the Alan, just for the listeners, Alan will like point to me and be like, you got it. And I'm like, I don't got it. Like, I don't know where you're going.
That's funny. So
anyways, we're human.
Let's talk about the stock market. Like we talked earlier, clearly gold is winning majorly this year. Stocks are doing really well, though. Like, don't get it twisted.
For real. I mean, the S&P 500 year to date is up, what, 16%?
Through the end of September?
Through the end of September.
That's solid.
Yeah.
Solid.
Any and I'm year pretty over sure I saw another record close within the month.
Come through market. Earnings have been good.
Earnings have been excellent. Even if they've missed what they projected, they've still been pretty darn good.
A client asked me recently, like, you see, Trump's doing great. Look at the stock market. I'm like, well, for one, you don't know what it would have been without all of this foolishness, but also—
It was pretty good before he came in.
Also, did you look at emerging markets? Like, literally, emerging market countries, their stocks are doing twice as good.
This is where you ask them, what is your benchmark?
Yeah. I'm just saying,
they'll be like, what? What like, you talking about, Willis?
This year— The U.S. is actually trailing much of the world.
Yes.
Even though it's good, 16 is good. Don't get me wrong.
But America First.
Emerging Market Index
I'm sorry.
Is up 31. I'll give you some countries that are, their markets are doing more than twice as good as the U.S. South Africa, Korea, Taiwan, emerging Europe, so Eastern Europe. So think.
Yeah.
Lithuania and
why are you laughing at Lithuania?
No, I'm saying Lithuania and them. like it's a crew. Latin America. Doing better. Well,
didn't we just give Argentina $20 billion?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that.
Yeah.
I mean, I do get it. I know why it's happening, but I'm saying you're literally going to take away from your own citizens and bail out another country?
I mean.
For oil?
I mean.
Like, do the people that are hurt by this, do they not see it?
Man. I mean,
it doesn't reconcile to me.
I mean, look, you sometimes have to do things like this. But it's the thing that doesn't reconcile for me is the idea that the Republicans are about a smaller government.
Yeah.
That's big government stuff.
Absolutely.
Troops in major cities, that's big government stuff.
Yeah.
The U.S. government is about to invest or is investing in a number of public companies, like private companies.
Yeah.
That's big government stuff.
Yeah.
Like they're investing
in... Like since when do they want federal resources going into states?
Yeah.
Well, since when? I don't know that Republican Party.
It's giving fascism. That's all I'm saying. Like, we'll move on. I'm not, you know.
That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for all your years of listening. This will be our final episode.
So the stock market, a bunch of countries doing better than us, although we are doing well at
the
same time.
He said the F word, y'all.
And then the other thing about the market, like, things are actually pretty pricey right now. Like the U.S. market right now is trading at about 22 times forward earnings. When I say forward earnings, meaning like I explain PE differently when I'm talking to kids. Like think about the PE is how many years before I get my money back if they gave me all the profit they made.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we're at 22 times. So it would take 22 years to get all your money back if you invested in the stock market.
I think it works for kids of all ages.
Yeah. And historically, over the last 20 years, the max is 22.8.
Mm-hmm.
So like we're at like not just an all-time high on the market, but like close to an all-time high on valuation.
Yeah.
Which means the U.S. market is very expensive.
Yep.
And across the board, every market for the most part is above its 20-year average in terms of multiples. But I will say Europe, Japan, China, like certain markets are more reasonably priced relative to their own history right now.
That's fair.
Which highlights the fact that we got to be diversified globally.
Yes.
Like we can't own Apple and Nvidia and Microsoft and say we're diversified.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is the opposite of diversification.
It really is. It really is. So let's move on to the bond market. Great year for bonds.
Excellent year for bonds.
Bonds in the U.S.
I'll take it.
Up 7%. Like our 3-year number on bonds is, I think, like 5 or 6% right now. Like you've earned that rate of return in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a few years ago, 2022, the bond market completely crapped the bed.
That's it.
And we're not fully back, but like these last 3 years have been a strong comeback for bonds.
Yep.
Municipal bonds, these are bonds that are loans to states and cities. People buy these bonds because they don't pay any tax on any of the income that comes back from them.
Mm-hmm.
High income earners love municipal bonds. Like they're up only about 4%.
They're trailing the...
Still
the,
good.
Yeah.
Trailing because of the tax cut. Like when you cut tax rates, that means that tax-free investments aren't as valuable.
I just wanted a reason to say
That's what we'll call it. Instead of saying the one blankety blank tax act.
We'll doesn't say, work. Because I can't see it without laughing.
We'll say, I like that. The yield curve is still inverted, but not. Like the yield curve, by the way, this is when you chart out all of the maturities of U.S. treasuries from 1 month all the way out to 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you just chart them. Typically, that chart would be upward sloping,
mm-hmm.
like looking up a hill.
Yep.
And right now it dips first, like it's actually inverted. It's negative, like it goes downwards mm-hmm. instead of up between the 3 month and the 7 year portion. And then it slopes up pretty high. Like it's got a high slope after that, mm-hmm. right? Like the 2s to the 10s, positive slope. 3 month to 7 year, which is kind of like an odd pairing, like that's a negative slope. Mm-hmm. And so people generally feel good about the direction of the yield curve. Like the yield curve, the reason why this matters is that often when the yield curve goes inverted, it typically is a pretty good recession indicator.
Yeah.
Because it's a view that rates are going to be lower in the future on the short end. Mm-hmm. And the expectation is that rates will be lower in the future because the economy is doing poorly. Mm-hmm. So the positive slope to the yield curve is a good thing. Like it's a more normal environment for bonds.
We could use some normalcy.
But it's tricky. It's tricky.
Tricky.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Don't do it.
Were you a Beastie Boys fan?
I just...
Who had to rock that mic, that rock that mic? I can't remember the name. I mean, I can't remember the lyric that well. But
was that the Beastie Boys or was that Run DMC? Or was it both?
Was it both? No, that's just straight Run DMC. So let's get back into these markets. We talked about gold earlier. Hedge funds are doing well, up about 8%. Hedge funds are an investment that are designed to have a low correlation to the stock or the bond market. A lot of our clients own them. They're doing well. Bitcoin, digital gold, as they say, not quite shining like gold
not
this year.
Quite.
Gold is up almost 60. Mm-hmm. Bitcoin is up about half, actually mm-hmm. a third.
Yeah.
Bitcoin's up 23% this year. So still like it, just as a part of a diversified portfolio. I mean, that's the bottom
always,
line on all this stuff.
Always. Like,
don't just put all your money into one thing.
Literally, no matter how well it's doing, no matter what the momentum
I like that
looks
word.
And feels like.
I like
really.
That word. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the key.
Yeah.
Always.
So before we go, we'll just talk about what do we think about all this stuff? Like we've given a really good history lesson on what's happened this year, but what do we think? What happens next? So number one, we do expect the economy to slow down.
It's already happening.
Slow down, but maybe not a recession. The chances of a recession are down to 20 or 30%. A year ago, they were at like 40 or 50%. Mm-hmm. It is possible that we slow down, but not go down.
You've been waiting for that.
That's off the cuff. That's off the cuff.
Okay. All right.
So we're now at 20, 30% chance of recession. Like, what do you think keeps us from falling into a recession?
I mean, we have the tax cuts that are going to go into effect next year.
Mm-hmm.
If the Fed lowers interest rates again, that'll help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the economists are expecting growth to be moderate, maybe not a lot, but some moderate growth and then maybe take off again towards the end of the year, if not the next year. So
yeah. Yeah,
if those
like,
things hold true.
Yeah. It seems like 27, 28 are expected to be better than 2026. So like.
Yeah, but we don't know how bad 2026 is going to be. So
yeah, that's a fact.
And it may not be bad. It just may be slower.
Mm-hmm. We're in a higher labor market.
Yeah.
Baby boomers retiring at a rapid pace. Plus, we've got no immigration this year. So I'm really watching the labor market.
Yeah. We also have new requirements for companies
mm-hmm.
who are sponsoring employees through HB1 visas.
Yeah, you got to pay like $100K.
Yeah, it's kind of expensive.
Now. Yeah. Like
so
you really want
I don't know that how that's going to impact things.
Yeah. And there was massive confusion about that when it came out because folks were like, does that mean if I have them here right now on HB1, I got to pay it? Or the
is it
next
just for new?
Is it this year? Is it next year?
The president will probably choose which companies have to adhere to that and which ones will get exceptions.
But we're watching the labor market. Like that's one of those factors that really drives the economy. Like our economy is mostly based on consumer spending. Like literally 2/3 of it is based on what we spend as consumers. And if folks can't find a job, if they're underemployed, if they're looking for jobs, they can't find them because we're in this low fire situation. Like that's something to watch for.
Speaking of consumer spending, mm-hmm. got inflation.
Inflation right now is looking okay.
Mm-hmm.
I am very concerned about it next year.
Mm.
Like tax cut means more people have more money. Like, think about what happened after 2020. Like, you know, mm-hmm. we got some stimulus.
Yeah.
We couldn't go outside. Outside opened back up. Yeah. Jokers tore the club up.
Yeah.
Inflation went through the roof.
Absolutely.
Like, this tax cut that's coming, like, it's been enacted, but it really hits next year. People are going to have some money to spend. That is inflationary for sure. So we're watching that. AI, we've talked about AI a lot.
It ain't going nowhere.
Do believe it's here to stay. You know, I think it's also like, we go back and listen to the AI show we did. Like, if you're going to build a data centers really are the backbone of the AI world. Like, you've got to lease land, secure a connection to the power grid, obtain access to fiber and water lines, build the building, build real estate, buy the chips and the equipment, buy cooling equipment. I'm giving you that full ecosystem because there's a lot of ways to make money from it.
Absolutely.
The power grid.
Right. Right. You don't just have to be in the AI company names. If you think about the materials sector, you do have to think about the entire ecosystem.
Yeah, absolutely. You could be just investing in some of the REITs that operate data centers.
That's
a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of ways to play it, but don't only play it. Like, understand that there is some incestuous stuff going on in AI. You have one company investing in the next only to turn around and get orders from that company. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's a concern.
For sure.
It's at least a yellow flag. How's that?
I like that. Yellow flag. Yeah, one other thing that people are really concerned about is how big technology is within the S&P 500 right now. Like, right now, it's the biggest sector of the index.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost 50% right now. If you look historically, like, the makeup of indexes changes over time as the economy changes.
Mm-hmm.
If you went back, like, 200 years, banks and the financial firms were literally 90 to 100% of the S&P 500. Then you go into the early 1900s, transportation companies were the biggest portion of the S&P 500. Like, there were canal stocks back in the day.
Canal?
Yeah, like canal. Not Canal Street,
yeah,
like
I'm with you.
Waterways.
I'm
like,
just
you
making
could buy,
sure that's what I heard.
Yes. Then you go another 50 years, energy stocks were the biggest. And then before the financial crisis, again, bank stocks were the biggest. And now we're in a new revolution, an AI revolution. And tech stocks are becoming more and more important. But, like, it's not crazy that they're dominating the market.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that we're adequately exposed, not overexposed.
That's right.
But we think it's here to stay. And we want to make sure you're invested, but not overinvested.
Participate, but don't concentrate.
I like that.
I just came up with that.
It's off the dome.
Off the dome.
And then finally,
we always say this, stick to your plan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're asking yourself, what plan? Then
have a plan first.
Yeah. We need to come up with one.
Yeah. And, like, a lot of times people are saying, hey, you know what? I'm feeling pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm disappointed that the market's up 16 and I'm only up 12 because I've got stocks and bonds
greedy.
And other stuff.
Yeah.
Why don't we go ahead and just readjust our investment game plan? Let's go
don't
all
do
stocks.
It. It's so tempting to be more aggressive considering how well the market's done.
Yeah.
But the higher you climb, the harder you fall sometimes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, look, I mean, as much as we know a lot about the market, as much as we know a lot about the economy, like, we don't have a crystal ball, my friends. I mean, your brother and sister at Momentum Advisors, Andre and Alan, we are smart, but not, we don't have, like, perfect knowledge. And we can't know what to put you in next. You can't know what to go into next. It's not knowable. So stick to your plan, be diversified, and live to fight another day.
That's right.
And if you don't have a plan and want to discuss having one, feel free to reach out to us at our website.
We know a few people who can help.
Momentum-advisors.com. Visit the site, go to the contact page, and you can schedule time with either me or Andrea, or sometimes both, depending on how schedules work out.
Sometimes.
And this is for people who have an investment portfolio, by the way. Like, if you're talking about, you know, I finally want to get my money together. Like, this might not be your first call. I'd say go back and listen to some episodes. But if you've got, you know, the makings of a portfolio and you want to talk about your game plan, give us a call. Or actually, go to our website.
That's right.
Don't give us a call. Momentum-advisors.com/contact.
It's not that we don't want to talk to you, but we have a process and we can't be accessible by everyone all the time.
We'll have our AI agents get right back to you.
We don't have AI agents. Thanks as always for listening. We'll catch you next time. I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
Black Friday is bringing the sunshine and the savings with Cheap Caribbean Vacations. Right now, you can score $500 off site-wide vacation packages when you book 4 nights or more. From Cancun to Aruba to Punta Cana, your next beach vacay is calling your name. It's the perfect time to book. What are you waiting for? Go to CheapCaribbean.com and get $500 off your next vacation today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It never happens at a good time. The pipe bursts at midnight. The heater quits on the coldest night. Suddenly, you're overwhelmed. That's when Home Serve is here. For $4.99 a month, you're never alone. Just call their 24/7 hotline and a local pro is on the way. Trusted by millions, Home Serve delivers peace of mind when you need it most. For plans starting at just $4.99 a month, go to homeserve.com. That's homeserve.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.